What is up? What is up? You're listening to Locked On NBA Draft. This is your host, Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies. I'm also doing this video on my YouTube channel. And if you're listening to the podcast, my YouTube channel is NBA Draft Junkies. You can find it on YouTube. I'm up to about 15,000 subscribers, which is still crazy to me. My goal is to get up to maybe 20, 22, 23, maybe even 25. By draft time, I have a lot of content that I'm looking to put out. And also, before I get started, I wanted to thank each and every listener for making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day. We are available on all platforms. And if you're looking for other Locked On networks, you know, whether it's Locked On USC Trojans, Locked On Lakers, Locked On Mavericks, Locked On whoever, go to your favorite team, and there is a Locked On podcast, and for in the most cases, YouTube channels too, where you got content on your favorite teams. This is one of my favorite times of the year because it is the beginning of basketball season. If you've been following European basketball, that season has started. EuroLeague has started. The NBA just had their first preseason game. College basketball should be tipping off soon. I used to be big into football, but Nebraska, I'm from Nebraska. Nebraska football hasn't been good. So even though they had a big win this weekend, but in this episode, I wanted to talk about my top 15 players that I want to watch. I guess you can call this my watch list. It's not my big board. It's not my mock draft, but it is 15 guys that I'll be playing. Or I'll be paying close attention to this basketball season. And let's just get started. At number 15, the number 15 prospect on my watch list that I'll be paying close attention to this season is Damian Collins from Kentucky. Now, Collins is a Texas kid. I live in Texas. He's from Atlanta, Texas. I never even heard of Atlanta, Texas until Damian Collins. But yeah, he's someone that I'm looking forward to watching this year. And one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to watching his progression is because Collins is a guy that I kind of struggle with, simply because I have a hard time deciding, is he what I want him to be, or is he who he wants to be? I don't know if that makes sense to you, but when I look at him, I see his athleticism, I see his skills. I want to see him in the post. I want to see him play like Kevin Garnett. Like, I know Kevin Garnett can't be duplicated, but I want to see him down low on the block and just using his physical tools to dominate. When I watch his film, I see a guy that is 6'9", 6'10", that wants to be a wing. I see him settling for a lot of jump shots. I see him trying to take guys off the dribble. Now, he is skilled. He can't put the ball on the floor, but I just feel like he should be on the block where he can utilize his talents even more and maximize just all his gifts. What I'm looking forward to seeing is how he plays at Kentucky. I just can't imagine Calipari giving him the same freedom that he had with Team Griffin. I imagine Coach Cal is going to have him on the block. You're going to see him as a role man. You're going to see him put up solid numbers at Kentucky. But then he could be a guy that, like Kentucky players in the past, outperforms his draft stock. And Bam Adebayo, I had a chance to speak with him this summer. One of the things that he mentioned to me, when you're evaluating players from Kentucky, look at their high school tape. That shows you what they can do, because you might not see it, or you probably won't see that whole skill set while they're at Kentucky. And then once they make it to the NBA, you'll see like, oh, wow, I didn't know that this guy could do that. So that is one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to watching Damian Collins, because, again, he has shown some wing-type skills on the high school level. I don't think he'll be able to show them at Kentucky. I think you're going to see him play more so as the five-man that I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And then maybe in the NBA, he actually gets a chance to showcase his full talent. But, again, Damian Collins is number 15 on my list of players that I'm looking forward to watching this particular season. And when I say this season, I'm not necessarily talking about college basketball. And I'm talking about just basketball, period, whether it's college basketball or European basketball across the different leagues. All right, the next player, that I'm looking forward to watching is Usman Jang. I've mentioned his name a few times on previous podcasts. So if you're watching on YouTube, check out my podcast on Locked On NBA Draft, and you'll see a lot of the content that I've had in the past. But Dang is a guy, or Dang, however you pronounce his name, is someone that I'm really looking forward to seeing. He's super skilled. I mean, he's drawn comparisons to Paul George. There's not a whole lot of film on him because between COVID and injuries, it's just kind of hard to find film. But what I have seen, I like what I see. I've had a chance to watch him in person. He is super talented. But one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to watching him is because I want to see how he plays in New Zealand. This New Zealand Breakers team has quite a few guards between Peyton Siva. You have his Hugo Besson, who is also an NBA draft prospect from France, who is a ball handler, who I think is a primary ball handler. He'll have the ball. There's another guard that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. And I feel like Jang is best when he has the ball in his hands. And he could end up in a position similar to RJ Hampton, where he is kind of standing in a corner, doesn't have the ball in his hands. And RJ went to that same particular team, and I felt like his draft stock plummeted by going to New Zealand because he's used to playing with the ball in his hands. He got there. He was a young guy on a team that had some pretty good veterans, and he didn't really get a chance to, you know, play with the ball in his hands. He really only got opportunities in transition if he created them. He did a lot of standing in the corner, which I think personally hurt his draft stock because at this time, 2 years ago, I felt like RJ Hampton was a top 10 pick. So I am curious to see how that works out for Jang because I think he's very similar in the sense that he is best with the ball in his hands. He may, it's kind of early to say, but he may be a better shooter than RJ Hampton at the same stage. We'll see. So that may help him out a little bit, but that is one of the reasons why I am really interested in just seeing his role and how he plays for the New Zealand Breakers. All right, the next player that I want to talk about is Jabari Smith Jr. from Auburn. He kind of reminds me of Damian Collins in a sense. I would love for them to be like traditional throwback fours or fives where they do a lot of their work in the post. And it kind of, I know they're skinny, so I know their frame right now isn't necessarily built for the physical contact, but it just seems like Jabari prefers to face up, put the ball on the floor, shoot jumpers. I've seen the comparisons to Jaren Jackson. I've mentioned that on a previous podcast. So what I am interested in just seeing is how he plays at Auburn, seeing if we're going to see him operate in the low post or mid post, or is he going to be someone that the majority of his possessions end up being jump shots? And if so, how well does he shoot? Is he efficient shooting all jump shots? The talent is there. I think that he can be a switchy defender, block shots, protect the rim. Just show that he's very athletic. But I really want to see his role at Auburn this year. The next player that I would like to see that's on my watch list is Jaden Ivey from Purdue. Ivey had a strong performance at the under-19s. I think that propelled him to possibly be the number one returning player in all of college basketball. I've seen a lot of different lists, and they have him as the best returning player. So if he can carry that momentum in the season, that is something that I'll be paying attention to. And also his jump shot. I think that's the skill set that is probably going to draw the most focus. If he can become a better shooter and knock down jump shots, then it's pretty much a no-brainer at this point that he is the number one returning prospect. So Jaden Ivey from Purdue is another player that I am looking forward to seeing during this college basketball season. All right, got to take a break, but when we return, I have more names of prospects that I'm looking forward to seeing this college basketball season. Coming in at number 11, it is Patrick Baldwin. And Baldwin is one of the most highly touted freshmen in this particular class that some may consider a deep freshman class. Baldwin chose to pass up playing for the Blue Blood schools. And even now, you have Overtime Elite. You got the Next Stars program in Australia. You got Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, UCLA. You have all these top schools that in the G League. So when you're a top-rated high school player, you actually have quite a few options. And Baldwin chose to bypass everyone that I just mentioned to play for his dad at Milwaukee. I am curious to see how that affects his draft stock. If he dominates the league, it's because he's supposed to. If he doesn't, then I think that's going to draw a lot of concerns and questions. He has a reputation of being a really, really good shooter. And we've seen that in like the high school level. We've seen that in the prep levels. But he was not an efficient shooter at the under-19s. I know that's a small sample size. I know it's kind of like playing on an all-star team with so much talent that it can be hard for guys to adjust, especially if they're used to having the ball in their hands. But Patrick Baldwin, playing for his dad at the University of Milwaukee, is another player that I'll be keeping my eyes out for this basketball season. Duke's AJ Griffin is another player that I want to see. Griffin, like Jang in a sense, has missed a lot of time due to injuries. There's not a lot of film with him either, but the film that I have watched, I've seen like this stocky, powerful guard who I've seen some comparisons to Jimmy Butler. He's someone that could end up being a top five pick. I've seen him ranked as high as a top five player. I think that he's very versatile. You can kind of tell that he's a coach's son or the son of a former player. He has a different level IQ. He's not raw. He's under control. And he's someone that, one, I want to see him finish the season healthy. From, you know, just based off of everything that I've seen and watched, that he's a good kid. And but staying healthy has been his issue. And also I want to see like his jump shot, if he's an efficient jump shooter. And then athleticism. Now, I know athleticism can be something that we all kind of are fascinated about, athleticism. But we've seen two guys basically finish 1, 2, and 3 in MVP voting for the 2021 season, and they weren't considered like super explosive, great athletes. I guess you could say Embiid, maybe. But I don't see Griffin as an explosive athlete. Now, this is just what I've seen. I don't see him as an explosive athlete with like this lightning quick first step. I've seen some different scouts say that he is a great athlete. I just haven't been able to see it. And I want to see if that has an impact on his game. Again, if he is the next Jimmy Butler, then I guess you don't really have anything to worry about, because nobody really considers Jimmy Butler like this super explosive athlete. But I think what separates Butler, what allows him to make up for, you know, lack of great athleticism, is he has a ridiculous work ethic and he's just tough. I mean, he's just mentally tough. So if AJ Griffin ends up being a Jimmy Butler, then that is a win for Duke, and that's, you know, puts him in position to have a great NBA career. So AJ Griffin is another player that I'm looking to watch, but he's not even the most, I guess he's not even the player on Duke that I really want to see the most. So stay tuned for that. The next player that is on my list that I'm very curious to see is Caleb Houston. Houston played for Canada this summer at the under-19s. Very highly touted. Comes from a great high school program. And I just want to know how he's going to play with Juwan Howard in that system at Michigan. He is a guy that I think is very versatile, does a lot of things well. At this point, I don't know what he, like, what is the particular skill set that he's going to be able to hang his hat on other than being versatile. So I'm just curious to see if there's a particular skill set that stands out, if he ends up being like a lights out shooter. And I just want to see how he, you know, performs at Michigan and in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is, you know, a physical league. It's probably not the most visually pleasing basketball league if you're looking for, you know, entertainment. But yeah, I just want to see how he plays in the Big Ten. All right, coming in at number 8 on the list is one of my favorite players personally. It is Gene Montero. I've had a chance to watch him play live. I saw him play at Basketball Without Borders in 2020 in Chicago. And just kind of a side note, who knew that the world would change like a month later? NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago is one of like the last major basketball events in the world, how we knew it. So everything kind of changed probably less than 3 weeks after that. But I was at the Basketball Without Borders event, And in my opinion, I thought Montero was the best player there. He was the most impressive in my eyes. And in this particular camp, Josh Giddey was there. And we all know that Josh Giddey had a strong year for Adelaide 36ers in Australia. Ended up being the sixth pick in the draft, which was pretty surprising. But overall, I still thought Montero was the best player in that draft. I was such a big fan of Montero's game that I even made a video and broke down film and sent it to an agent on why I felt like he should have put his recruiting efforts into signing Montero. He ended up signing with Bill Duffy, and I think he switched to Rich Paul since then. He went on to play in Spain for Gran Canaria. Now he is back stateside because he played briefly in the EYBL team, in the EYBL for a team out of Florida. Put up ridiculous numbers. I want to say he played like the under 15s or something like that, or 15U. Left for, I think he went back home to Dominican Republic, went to Spain. Now he's stateside playing for Overtime. And just overall, Overtime Elite, this whole league is something that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'll be paying close attention to what goes on there because I have my concerns about the league. You know, part of me feels like it's going to be like glorified AAU basketball. Like, they're going to have to find a way to really sell the program because they, you know, they're competing with the G League and the Blue Bloods and then even Australia. So I wonder if their target audience is younger kids and, you know, they already got like the bright colors in the uniforms. Then I wonder, is it going to be really structured or is it just going to be up and down? So I think it may be tough to evaluate some of the guys in that league. And I'm just saying this just, you know, early on, I could be totally wrong. I had some questions about the G League last year because I felt like they have to have the guys succeed. You have to have Jalen Green's stock stay the same or not get better. Same thing with Jonathan Kuminga, because I felt like if their stock plummeted, then it really hurts the G League as a whole. So I have the same feeling about Overtime Elite. But Montero is a guy that's not going to pass the eye test. He's maybe 6'2", 6'3", maybe 170 pounds. Similar to Trae Young in a sense that not going to pass the eye test, but man, he can put the ball in the basket. He's an improved passer. He just has a great feel for putting the ball in the bucket. I mean, he's smooth. Like, I mean, smooth operator, not super explosive athlete, but has floaters, can score off the dribble, and just has the offensive creativity that I love and I can be a little bit biased towards. So G Montero comes in at number 8 on my watch list. Now at number 7, it is Peyton Watson from UCLA. Watson, I thought, looked pretty good at the under-19s. He is an oversized ball handler. I think that he is a point guard. I think that's the position that he's best at. But he doesn't shoot the ball particularly well. And then if he's playing off the ball as a wing, I wonder how does that affect the gravity of the offense, because he is a good athlete. High motor, quick first step, can get in the paint, is a reluctant shooter, and even at the under-19s, I thought like he was overpassing, but I think that he can be a weapon as like a, you know, an oversized point guard or ball handler that you put in pick and rolls because he has the speed and the athleticism to put tremendous pressure on defenses, and then he also has the court vision and the passing instinct. So what I'm looking forward to seeing is his jump shot, if he's improved over the summer. And actually, what position does he play? Because I think that he's best suited to be a point, but he may end up playing the wing. So that is why I have Peyton Watson as number 7 on my watch list. At number 6, I have Nikola Jovic from Serbia, who has a big game. By the time this episode airs, or by the time you watch this on YouTube, the game will be over. But Jovic has a big matchup coming up against Roko Prokocin. I think those are two of the top 5 international prospects. Jovic is, you know, another one of these Serbian skilled playmakers. I mean, we got Nikola Jokic, who was our MVP last year, who is like a point center. You got Lekšić Pokuševski, who's a 7-foot. I don't even know if you can put him in a box and label him by a position. And Jovic is kind of similar. I mean, he can make plays for others. He's, unlike Pokuševski, he does have a pretty nice frame on him. I think he has a strong base, little bit more physical, puts the ball in the basket at a high rate, averaged about 18 points a game at the under 18s. I want to say he averaged 17 points a game last season playing in Serbia. He can dribble, he can shoot, he can pass. Even though his shooting numbers aren't bad, I think his efficiency could be a little bit higher simply because he has a tendency to take some tough shots. I'm on record of saying that he has a little bit of Jason Tatum in his game. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays this season. I had a conversation with Chad Ford, who's like, you know, the NBA scouting guru. Had a conversation with Chad, and Chad said, based off of what he's heard from NBA teams, a lot of teams are divided. Some have him as the top 10 pick, some have him as mid to late first round. So curious to see where he ends up going and how he ends up playing this season. If he can have a season that is similar to what he had last year, or even how he played at the under 19s, then I think he could end up being a top 10 pick. All right, now we are in the top five. And at number five on my watch list, it is Jalen Duren from Memphis. Kind of an old school throwback, physical banger. I think he does have some skills, but what I want to see is if he's able to showcase an advanced skill set, or is he going to dominate college basketball just based off his physicality, his strength? I mean, I think he has like a 7'5 wingspan. If you ever see him, if you haven't seen him, I mean, there's no way that you think he's a high schooler, or he just finished high school when you see him. He actually should still be in high school. He reclassified up. I mean, when I was in high school, I didn't see guys built like him walking around the halls carrying backpacks. Like, this dude looks like a man. I mean, he is literally a man child, plays like it. I mean, just a traditional low post physical presence. And speaking of that, while I'm getting into this, we've heard a lot of talk over the past few years about the center position being dead, and you know, it's a guard's game. But as I progress into my watch list, it is dominated by bigs in the top five. So Jalen Duren is someone that I'm looking forward to seeing. Him and Imani Bates. You can make a case that I should have Imani Bates on this list, but he's not eligible for the 22 NBA draft. And Duren is someone, again, I'm looking to see if he has, if he's able to showcase a skill set other than just being bigger, stronger, and faster, or just bigger and stronger than his opponents. All right, at number four on my list is Yannick Sosa, who I'm really, really interested to see how he plays. I mean, he's not going to put up big numbers playing in Spain. Spain is a tough league. It's the toughest domestic league. Spain is, I mean, I guess you can say it's about developing guys, but it's really not, because they're not going to give him developmental minutes. He'll probably play more minutes in the NBA next season than he'll play in Spain this season. Very skinny, still a little raw, but polished. I think that his upside is as a defender, and he is one of the fastest bigs I've ever seen. I mean, he does have some Anthony Davis / Rasheed Wallace foot speed as far as how he can go from end to end. I love how he transitions from defense to offense. I think that he's going to be a tremendous shot blocker, has the ability to just be a great defender offensively. He's right now, he's just more so of a role man, but he does show flashes of having good touch. He'll need to expand his range. Still a little raw. I know he picks up a lot of offensive fouls, and he's not going to be impressive, like I said, on paper this year. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he averaged like 6 points a game, but still ends up being a top five pick. So Yannick Sosa, or Sosa, is another player that I'm looking forward to seeing. He comes in at number four on my list. All right, we're down to the top three, and let's just go with Jaden Hardy. Every year you got to have a Jaden or a Jalen in the lottery, and we already got two. Hardy is a scorer, in the words of one of my favorite rappers, the Harlem philosopher, Harlem legend, even though Dipset got totally embarrassed at the verses with Lox. But Cam had this line where he said, "You're a passer, I have a scorer's aura." And when I think of players that have a scorer's aura, Hardy comes to mind. I mean, he is definitely wired to score, but he does have some playmaking ability that I think is why he's projected so high, because I think there are some teams that believe that he could develop into a primary ball handler or point guard. One of the first things that comes to mind when I think of Hardy is he loves to shoot from deep. He is a guy that could develop into, you know, this new made-up four-level scorer, a guy that can put the ball on the basket, attack the rim, score in the mid-range on pull-ups, shoot the NBA three, and then there's like the fourth level where you have to, you know, defend the guy 30 feet from the rim. He already has crazy range to be so young. I'm talking Dame Lillard, Steph Curry range. What I'm looking forward to seeing is how he plays with different teammates. I mean, I know he averaged about 8 or 9 assists a game in high school, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays with veteran teammates and how his game translates, and if he is in fact someone that could end up playing the one. So Jalen Hardy is another player that is on my watch list, coming in at number 3. Number 2, Paolo Banchero, another physically impressive, oversized, I don't know, man-child, just a great physical presence. He has a lot of skill. I mean, he can dominate in the mid-post. He scores on the low post, plays bully ball. He's tough, but he's also a very good passer. He's someone that can initiate the offense. You can run him out of ball screens. He can be a hub as a low post passing threat. I mean, just super skilled, super talented. And the knock on Banchero is he is not a great athlete, but we just seen a guy in Nikola Jokic win MVP, and he probably did not have 5 dunks all season as a 7-footer. He ended up being the best player in the league last year just based off of his skill set, his IQ, his passing ability, and just how he made everyone around him better. I think Banchero, even though he's not like comparable to Jokic, but I think he has some similar skill sets. I think at the very minimum, he could be like this connective tissue, but he's someone that I think has all the tools that NBA teams would love, and a guy that just can make everyone better. What I'm looking forward to seeing is if his lack of athleticism stands out and if he is able to dominate without playing bully ball. He's still going to be stronger than most of his opponents, but he really, like, literally dominated the prep levels because he was, you know, so much stronger and so much more talented and gifted. So I want to see how he plays with a little bit of the bully ball taken out of his game, and also how well he shoots the ball. So I definitely want to see what percentage he shoots at the three, and if he is going to be as dominant, if he lives up to the hype, because I've seen his name as the number one pick on a lot of different mock drafts. So, you know, I want to see who wins out the race. Well, at least right now, I think it's a 2-man race between Banchero and the guy that is number one on my list, and it is Chet Holmgren. And one of the reasons why I cannot wait to see Chet is, one, he's a unicorn. I know that term unicorn has been thrown around loosely, but I think Chet is definitely deserving of the label. We're talking about a 7-footer that can put the ball on the floor, that can shoot, that can protect the rim and pass. I mean, that was one of the most impressive things that I saw out of him this summer, was his passing ability. Now, he is skinny. I mean, he can hula hoop through a Cheerio, or he can do push-ups under a door crack, but he is super skilled. And what the reason that I'm curious about watching him play this season and why he's number one on my list is because you can make a case and say he is not the best player on Gonzaga's team. Like, he could be the number one pick in the NBA draft without being the best player on Gonzaga's team. I think Drew Timmy is going to be the player of the year in college basketball. I mean, Timmy's coming off a dominant sophomore season where Gonzaga, I mean, you can make a case that he was the best player on Gonzaga last year. Maybe not the best NBA draft prospect, but I mean, I thought Drew had a great year, and I expect him to even have a better year this season. I had a chance to watch him play or watch him train quite a few times this summer. So I think that he will be able to showcase improved range. But with all that being said, Chet Holmgren is going to be you know, all eyes on Chet this season. He's going to be the guy that probably has the most attention on him in all of college basketball. How him and Drew play together, that is going to be an interesting fit, even though I think they can, because I think Drew is obviously a five and Chet can play the four. What I want to see is how Chet plays against Duke. Like, I think the date is November 26th. It is the date that is circled on my calendar. Well, I shouldn't say it's circled on my calendar if I don't know the exact date. But Duke and Gonzaga play this year. I mean, I think this is probably going to be one of the biggest college basketball games since, I want to say, Duke, Kansas in 2013. It was the year Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins went heads up. So I'm looking forward to that game. But overall, I just want to see if Chet lives up to the hype. Tremendous amount of pressure on him. Everybody's looking forward to seeing if he lives up to just all the accolades that he's received. We've been hearing about him for a few years now. So that wraps up my watch list. Again, it's just a watch list of 15 guys that I'm looking forward to watching this season. It's not a mock draft. It's not my big board. Just my personal Rafael Barlow NBA Draft Junkies watch list. Thank you for listening. Thank you for checking me out. Once again, it's Rafael NBA Draft Junkies Locked On NBA Draft, and I am out.